Excellent. All right, I'm going to pray for myself real quick, and then we'll start first message of 2020. Father, we thank you for your word, the entrance of your word gives life. And so, God, we thank you, God, for your life to envelop us this morning. God, we don't want just the words of a person, God, we want your words. And God, we want what you would say to us. And God, we give ear to hear what your Spirit wants to speak to us this morning. God, speak to us individually and corporately this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I felt like over the last month and a half, that God had dropped some things down in my heart about where we're going to go this year. And as far as the year. And I'm be honest, I ask for God for a word over my own life. And I even like give an ear to say, God, what are you saying to our church? And there's some direction, there's always directions. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But God really impressed something on me this year. And God gave us a word like I said, in the last month and a half. And that word is grow. Grow. And what God wants to do this year is He wants us to grow. You're like, amen, we should grow more people. Okay, that's part of it. But God wants to grow us. He wants to grow us individually. He wants to grow us corporately. But He wants to grow us individually. And so this year, we're doing some things on purpose to allow us, to give us opportunity to grow. Sunday school being the very first thing that we're doing. We're revamping our men's ministry. We're doing a kind of a facelift, kind of a new thing in our men's ministry to help us what? Grow. We want to grow. And so there's different things we want to give us opportunities to grow. We have other things that are down the pike. I'll leave those for a later date, but we have things in place for us to grow. Because that's what God's put on our heart. We've talked to our leadership team about grow. What are we doing to grow individually? What are you doing individually? I actually, for my own personal, I actually got a mentor this year. And I'm having somebody mentor me and help me grow in areas that I need to grow in. So it's all of us. We're all growing. I need it. You need it. We all need it to grow. And growth doesn't happen on purpose. The other way around. Growth does happen on purpose. Growth doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. And growth doesn't happen because, man, a wish and a hope and I did a New Year's resolution. It doesn't happen through that. It happens on purpose. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, about growing. Growing. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
Say this year,
year.
I'm going to grow. Say this year,
year.
We're going to grow.
Amen.
Amen. So there is a tree. It is. Let me just ask this. Does anybody know the tallest tree in the world? It has a name. There's one tree. It is the giant's quarry, but it's a Hyperion. The Hyperion is the single tallest tree in the world. And it is it's an East Coast redwood, like a sequoia, in California. It was measured to be, listen to this, 380 feet tall. Just to give you an idea, the loblolly pines that we have around here, they grow about 100 feet tall. This redwood grew and is still there. Actually, it's kind of in a place where really they don't really tell a lot of people where it's at. But it's 380 feet tall. That's a big tree. Everybody say, that's a big tree. Look at your neighbor and go, that's a big tree. That's a big tree. Look at your other neighbor and say, I ain't climbing that tree. That's a big tree. But let me show you this. This picture is the seed of a coastal redwood tree. So that tree grew from that seed. That little bitty seed. That big tree grew from that seed. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31 says Jesus, talking about Jesus, he told them another parable, say, the kingdom of heaven is like of a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. So Jesus is teaching us an interesting thing here. He says that the smallest seed can create the biggest tree in your garden, right? Or your biggest tree. Or the smallest little seed can create the biggest tree in the world. 380 feet of tree. Out of a smallest tree. So what does that tell us? It tells us it's not the size of the seed. It's not the size of the seed. It's the DNA that's in the seed that causes it to be the largest tree. The DNA of that seed is what's going to cause that tree to be what God intended that tree to be. It's the DNA. God has put, if you will, a special DNA in you. In you. A special DNA that only you can produce. Only you can allow that thing to grow. Amen? A special DNA. We know about DNA, right? DNA makes us all unique. As people, it makes us all unique, different. It's amazing. Over all the people on the planet and all the people that have ever been, like nobody looks like you. That's amazing. I've said it before, but you know, so God said he created man in his own image. That means listen. God created man in his own image. What does that mean? Does that mean Adam and Eve had all of what God was ever like? No. He continued to create man in his own image. You, look at your neighbor and tell him, you have an image of God that I don't have. Look at your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have an image of God that I don't have. That's the truth. And only you can fulfill the call of God and what God wants to do in your life. Only you. It's like a seed. It's the DNA, if you will, that God has put on the inside of you. But what you do with that seed or with that DNA, if you will, is up to you. It's up to me, what I do with that seed. Listen to this, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14 through 15. I remember reading this scripture and it just rocked my world. It changed everything. It says, do not neglect the gift that was given to you through prophecy when the body of the elders lay their hands on you. Watch this. Be diligent in these matters. Everybody say diligent. Diligent. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that, notice that phrase, so that. That means then, if God had to put that phrase in there, so that, that means that there's this part is up to you, and there's a thing that says, if you don't do this, then this won't happen. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. That means that God's seed that he's put on the inside of you can remain in you dormant unless you give yourself wholly to them. Because if you don't give yourself wholly to what God's put in you, nobody will ever, ever see it. Read that again. Be diligent, verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Hear these words. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. So it means just because there's a gift in you doesn't mean that anyone else will know about it if you don't give yourself to it. You know what else that means? This is what I call my hard truth warning. My hard truth warning is this. Whatever you give yourself to will grow. Whatever you give yourself to will grow. Whatever. Whatever you, what is giving yourself to? Your time, your money, your energy, right? Whatever you give yourself to will grow. There are things that we are good at. We are good at some of these things, right? We are good at some things. Like, I am really good at knowing about sports. She knows. I am good about knowing about things. Why? I give myself time to it. I give time to it. I know that the Patriots lost yesterday. Unless I'll shed a tear. I know actually way too much about sports. Right? I know a lot about sports. I know a lot about fishing. How do you know? Look at my bank account. I throw out that lure. It gets hung on some unknown seen thing in the bottom of Altoona, which God only knows what's in the bottom of Altoona. But it gets hung on it, and I pull it. It's stuck and breaks my line. Man, if I haven't replaced that lure by the next day, something's wrong. Right? Like, you know, because what? I spend my energy. I learn about it, right? I know about it. I spend my money. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your account, your bank account, will tell on you about what you love. That's Jesus. That's not me. That's Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Take it up with Jesus. What do you spend your time doing? What do you know about all the TV shows that we watch? All the stuff. Oh. Oh, it's. Welcome to 2020. David's different in 2020. Amen. What TV shows we watch? What are we great in? I'm not saying that we should know anything. I'm not saying that we shouldn't buy fishing lures. I'm not saying we shouldn't buy fishing. I'm not saying we shouldn't buy golf equipment. And all God's people said, amen. You know why they sell a lot of golf balls, right? Because we lose them all. We lose every one of them. Like, when you buy a box of them, like, that one's going to be gone one day. That one's going to be gone one day. That one's going to be gone one day. I bought a guy in our church a pack of yellow golf balls. You know why they're yellow? So you can find them. Amen. Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. What is the treasure of our day? Our treasure of our day is our time. Our people today, we will spend a ton of money to save time. There has been a shift in our economy. And time is more valuable even than our money. We will spend money to have somebody do something because I don't have the time to do it. It's our time. What do we spend our time on? But if we want to grow, and if there's things that we want to grow in, according to Scripture, we're going to have to give ourselves wholly to them. Some of you, listen. Some of you, when Jessica said that about learning more of the Bible, something in you tweaked. Something in you stirred. Go, yeah, that's me. I don't know. I don't know enough. She said, I don't know. I don't know which came first. I don't know Noah, Moses. I don't know Adam. I don't even know. Like, where did Adam come? You know, you're like, some of us. We just, and it's not bad. But listen, you have to give yourself to it. If God is tweaking you in your heart, and immediately you thought, yeah, I think I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden, right after that, you thought all the reasons why you shouldn't, and you can't. There's a battle that goes on for what we want and what we do. We have to give ourselves wholly to the things that we want to grow in. And sometimes, guys, listen, this growth doesn't happen. I am so far off my nose. Sometimes this happens because... I forgot where I was going. Let's see. What was I saying? Grow. Yeah, grow. Grow. I was talking about grow. Yeah, you grow on purpose. Like sometimes, listen, sometimes the things that we want to grow in are the things that we neglect the most. I'm so thank you, Holy Spirit. It's the truth. The things we want to grow in. I want the things, Paul says, things I desire to do, I don't do them. The question is, guys, listen. What do you want to be? What do you want to grow in 2020? What do you want to grow in? And listen, it doesn't happen overnight. We expect, like, through January, right? You know why most New Year's resolutions are over in February? Because we don't see the results that we want to see. And we don't see the results fast enough. Because we are in the microwave generation. I want it now. I want it quicker than now. My microwave's too slow. It takes me 30 seconds. 30 seconds. You know what I could have done in 30 seconds? I could have watched another YouTube video in 30 seconds. Like, what do we want? What do you want? But you can have, listen, you can have the call. I'm just going to stay on here. You can have the call of God on your life and not give yourself wholly to it, and no one will ever see it. No one will ever know about it. This guy says, stays in a seed form. That seed, go look at my seed. I have all the potential in the world. It's in the palm of my hand. And that's all it's going to be is potential. We talked to the teenagers. They said in the one of the meetings that we were in, and they really were kind of coaching, you know, us about, you know, what do you do with kids teenagers and students in revival and experience the call of in the presence of God. You know what they said? It's so true. It's true for them. It's true for us. An encounter with God without devotion to God will just be a memory. Encounter with God without devotion to God can just be a memory. And how many of us, we had an encounter with God and we haven't given ourselves to the things of God, and we wonder why that fire's not burning in us anymore? Because encounter without devotion can be just a memory. Can be just a memory. Because if you don't give yourself wholly to it, it's not like God is just going to... Paul says it like this. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. Jesus said, knock, and the door will be open. How much knocking are we doing? How much seeking are we doing? What areas should we as believers, we call ourselves, what areas as we as believers are called to grow in? We need to grow in things that have eternal purposes. Grow in things that have eternal purposes. Francis Chan says, I don't want to be an expert at things that won't matter for all eternity. I don't want to be an expert at things that won't matter for all eternity. What are the things that are important to God? What are things that are important to the kingdom? What areas do we need to grow in 2020? How about these, just from a practical sense? How about these? Our family. Our family. Family is important to our God, right? Our marriages. Are we giving ourselves to our marriages? What about prepping for our future? Some of you are you're young adults and you need to start. What are you doing to prep for your future? If you don't do anything, nothing will happen. It's not like it's magically just going to appear for you, right? You get out of college and they promise me a six-figure job. That's all you got to say right there. Amen. That was about the best amen I can get all day.
From the teacher.
What about getting healthy this year? And maybe not just even say, well, I want to lose weight. What about we just get healthy? Healthy. How about healthy is the goal? Right? Yes. See Etta. She'll help you. Yes. You're welcome, Etta. Getting healthy. But listen, all of those things, your marriage, your future, your families, all of those things start in one place. It starts in your relationship with God. It starts with your relationship with God. He is the King. I was, how should I say it? I was in the Lord's presence at the ramp. And this is what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He said, David, I'm the King. This is my kingdom. I've been teaching you about kingdom. And I went, yes, you have. I'm the King of the kingdom. What does the King do for the kingdom? He allots resources to all of the kingdom. A king allots the resources. This person makes a request. The king says yes or no. He said, David, I'm your resource giver. It's not your brilliance. It's not your abilities. It's me. God says, I'm the resource giver. And the money and the anointing and God's power, Jesus. He's my source. He's my source. So in all these things, our source is the King. And the King was good enough to give us the Holy Spirit. Now we have the very presence of the King in us with every resource, every ability, every chain-breaking ability, every power ability, every wisdom ability, every bit of how can God work in my marriage? How can God help me with my kids? How can God help me prep for my future? God, where are you leading me? Help me. God says, I have given it to you because I'm the King and the resources is the Holy Spirit within you. But if you don't tap in to the Holy Spirit, if you don't tap in to God Himself, you'll just be doing this like the rest of the culture around us. Stumbling, trying to figure out the right way, stumbling which way is up. But if we understand that He is the King, and He's the resource giver, and He is everything I need, and all of a sudden that drops from that, oh yeah, He's everything I need, to no, He is everything I need. So what does that cause me to do? I'm going to have to give myself wholly to knowing God. If I want to shine, like we've been talking about, if I want to shine in the darkness of our culture, if I want to be bright lights, like we talked about this Christmas, if I want to be merry and bright, then I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to live big on the inside of me. I can't be like normal anymore. Right? It's got to be something that burns on the inside of us. It all starts here. Our better relationships, our better growth, the power that gives us, the seed just goes in the ground, right? And something magical happens to that seed, that dead seed, because of the nourishment that's around it. God gives life to that seed. But if Jesus said, lest that seed goes into the ground and dies. What are you dying to? All of the other things that scream for our attention. All the other things that scream. Because all the other thing that screams for our... Listen. All the stuff that screams... Oh, thank you. All the stuff that screams for our attention will not give us the life-giving power for the DNA that's in the seed that God created in you. It's the life-giving power of God, the power of the seed. God brings life to the seed. There's nothing about that dead seed without the life of God. There is nothing about the call of God on your life, the potential of God on the inside of you, without the power of God Himself giving life to that seed. But if we don't give ourselves wholly to it, if we don't water it, if we don't put fertilizer on it, if we don't put it in the right ground, amen? If we just throw it on the ground and go, hope it grows. Right? Jesus said the cares of this life will choke out that seed. It may spring up a little bit. You might get a little, I felt the Holy Spirit. But listen, the cares of this world will choke that seed out. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do different? Because God is the life of everything that you want, everything, the power that you want to live this life. We're going to grow on purpose. He's the life giver. He's the source. Maybe, for some of us, it starts with completely surrendering your life to the Lord. Jesus said this to John. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I don't know what to do with you. How can we expect to grow in the things of God if we give ourselves half-hearted to Him? I don't know about you, but my heart is that we do something different at Hope Church. That we, the people, I'm not worried about the church down the street. I'm not worried about some whatever any other preacher is preaching. I don't care what anybody, I know what God's called us to do, and God's called us to be different, to be people of God with the very character and nature of God in Him. That we look to others first. We live for kingdom purposes. It's not just a Sunday thing, right? This is like the life of God. So what are we going to do? We're going to start sowing into our relationship with God. How are we going to do that? I'm so glad you asked. That's why I'm going to do this over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about growing over the next few weeks. And I think in 2 weeks, if I'm hearing right, I'm actually going to have a panel up here of people. And we're going to talk about how they grow. What do you do to grow? What do you do to grow in your walk with God? How does that look for you? What does that look like? How did you, you know, those kind of questions. We're going to ask those questions. You know, the first thing we can do is start simply. Just simply. I love, just start where you're at. We'll just say it like that. Get a devotional. First, get a devotional that you like, that you enjoy reading, and read it. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, there is the devotional. This is America, bless God. There's a devotional for every person, everywhere, for everything under God's green earth in America. America. Home of the free and the brave, and every devotional known to man. There is a devotional for you. I promise you that. If you don't have, it starts simply. If you don't have the Bible app, you know, get the download the Bible app. Like, it tells you how to read the Bible. It tells you where to start reading the Bible. It's a devotional for how to start reading the Bible. There's devotionals for all kind of stuff. Start with a short one. Listen, do me a favor. If you don't read your Bible on a daily basis, don't start this year out and tell me that you're going to read your whole Bible through in a year. Please, for the love of all that's good and holy and righteous and all everything, don't do that. And come January the 23rd and go, God, I'm such a failure because, you know, they say, what's the thing that keeps people from reading through the Bible? Leviticus. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you get in Leviticus, you're like, I don't know what in the world is going on, right? There's a lot of blood going on about right here, and I don't know what's happening. Like, seriously, read your Bible. Just read it. Read great book. Go read the book Gospels. Go read John. Go read John calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved because he had a revelation of God, much Jesus loved him. Go read that. Read the Bible Project is a great plan. I just finished a while back ago reading the Bible through in a year with the Bible Project people. So if that's you and you want to read, that's a great plan. It takes you all through and they know how Leviticus is, right? So they'll have videos about this is what's going on and this is what they're talking about here. When you're like, I've read for 3 days and I haven't received one thing, I got no idea, right? Read your Bible, read it through. Start out with a short one. Start somewhere. But God, because the entrance, like I said before, the entrance of God's Word, it'll bring life. It'll bring light to you. It'll bring life to you. I heard it this weekend. They said, you know what? They go, I hate it when you read your Bible And like, you ever get like condemned? You're like, I read my Bible like a couple days ago, and somebody asked, what did you read? I don't remember. How many of y'all like that? Anybody? There's like four honest people in this place. Yeah, the rest of y'all, well, there could be one of two things, right? I didn't read my Bible 3 days ago, or I always remember. You know, guys are amazing, so it's one of the two. So, but like, you know, you're like, and they said this, they go, hey, don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn yourself. You know why? Because listen, they may ask you, what did you eat last week? And you're like, what last week? I don't remember. I don't remember, but watch this. I know it nourished me. So just because you don't remember what it was doesn't mean it didn't nourish you at that moment.
Right?
So when you read, just read it. God's word nourishes you. And keep going, keep going, keep going. I talked to a guy the other day, and we were talking about reading their Bible. And I said, man, I feel like I've read my Bible 3 days in a row, and I haven't really gotten it. I feel like I didn't write anything down. Just keep reading. Just keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Man, sometimes the gym, you don't want to go. You just don't want to go. But it's good for you to go, right? You go, man, I feel like I just kind of lazied my way through. You went. Just read your word. And I'm going to just say this. The Bible talks about the Bereans. The Bereans, they call the Bible the Bereans. When Paul preached to the Berean church, he says the Bereans were more noble than every other people that Paul preached to because they searched the word daily to see if what Paul said was true. Do we know that everything that we're receiving, every pick your favorite preacher guy or girl, search it. Don't just take it because, I like the way David preached, he's so funny. And he just said that real quip thing, and it was really cute and everything. Is it the Word of God?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
How do you know? Unless you search it out for yourself. There's things that I hear, and I go, that's not right. We had to talk to our teenagers. There's a guy who said something, and I went, I just want all of y'all to know what he said is not true. Right? You're not going to believe. You're not going to, anyway. But search the word. You don't know it unless you hide the word in your heart. Unless you get the word on the inside of you. Whew. Got quiet. Thank you, Julie. Sorry, it was something. Start out, spend some time talking to God in prayer. How do you do that? It's terrifying. You ever get to a place where you go to pray and you go, here I am. I guess it's just me and you here. You know, there's a lot of things I'm just really speechless at this moment. I'm just speechless, right? And like you go to God and you're like nothing to say, right? Not like there's nothing, like you're, anybody ever else? You like go to God and go, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna spend 30 minutes in prayer. And by the first minute, you're like, I've run out of things to say. I don't have anything. I think we kind of covered it, God, like me, help, and Jesus, like help. That's it, like 2 seconds, help. Right? And maybe it's 5 seconds. Help! 5 seconds down. Can we please? Like, I would say, just don't get hung up on your time. Just talk to God. What's going on in your life? What do you need? You know, it's simple. Like, make your request known to God. God, this is what's going on. Conversation, and then stop and maybe listen for a minute. Listen. Like, don't just go blabbing off, hey, I need this, don't give God the grocery list and go, oh, peace out, I'm out the door, right? Don't, like, give God a second. Like, maybe he wants to say a couple of things. Maybe he wants to impress something on your heart. We talked about the different way God speaks to you, right? Go back and listen to the message. It was somewhere on the podcast. But he speaks to you sometimes in words. Sometimes he speaks to you like just in impressions. I sense this. You know, I feel like this is what I need to do. So just, but pray. You grow where you want to go. You have to grow. No, that's not it. You have to grow to where you want to go. You have to sow to where you want to go. Thank you. There it is. Thank you. Thank you. The church helps me preach. That's amazing. And not only that, listen, spend time in worship. Spend time in worship. Maybe this beginning of this year, you need to just cut out everything else, but like just some worship music. Maybe you should just, like we started doing this. Well, Julie started doing this not too long ago. Just having worship music being played in our home all the time. You know what that causes you to do? Next thing you know, you're like, you're just starting. I'm not going to sing. I was about to. That was close. No. You're tempting me. Get behind me. She knows. She knows what would happen if I sang. It wouldn't be the anointing. It would be the annoying. She knows. So what was I talking? Worship. Spend time worshiping. But you get that in you. You get it in you. And then not, then like during your day, maybe you're not singing like some whatever, your journey song or well, journey, that was a long time ago. But your favorite whatever song, right? Your, I was gonna say Four Tops. No. That was a long time ago. But maybe you just sing like whatever those songs are, right? And all of a sudden you're singing, and all of a sudden you catch yourself. Like going, oh yeah, what a beautiful, you're singing What a Beautiful Name. And you're like, oh yeah. And you're like in your day and that's just rolling around in your head. How great would that be to be thinking about how great the name of Jesus is when you're dealing with crazy people on your job?
Yeah.
It's a whole lot better than some other stuff you could be thinking about that's helping you with your flesh, right? Spend time in worship. Whew, here's a big one. You ready? Say it's 2020. So hit me. Here we go. Fasting. Fasting. Jesus said, told his disciples, how come we couldn't cast this one out? He said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Fasting. And listen, fasting is not just depriving yourself of something. It's not just depriving yourself of food. It's not even changing your diet. That's called a diet. Fasting is that plus prayer. Amen. A diet, a fasting without prayer is called a
diet.
And that's good. That's great. You know? But is it more? What are you doing? I'm telling my flesh no. I'm saying, flesh, you have ruled me long enough. You have caused me to do things that I'm not proud of, I'm not happy about. You have caused me to focus on things I shouldn't be focusing on because I have a call of God on my life. I have something for God for me to do, and it's not going to happen if I keep doing that mess that I keep doing. So I am telling my flesh, no, 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 I'm not going to listen to that music. Flesh, sorry, I know you want to, too bad. Tough tacos. Like your food. Food is great. Food is a great one. Fast some food. Do sugar. Double dog dairy to do sugar. Yeah. I feel a Lord in this place. Y'all start. Like, what is that thing? Fast it. Tell your body no, because your body has been telling you yes way too long. Your body has been telling you what to do way too long. Your mentality has been telling you what to do way too long. It's time for you to go, no, 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 no. I am led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. I am led by God's Spirit. My spirit is going to be so strong in the inside of me, my flesh will be going, hey, can I please have a pizza? No, shut up. Shut your face, pizza. So we're going to say, we're going to shut our face to our food. That's a private thing of me and Mike. Shut your face. So we're going to shut our face and we're going to tell our body no. Amen. Because listen, your body will take you places you don't want to go. Your desires will take you places you don't want to go. The Bible says that we're drawn away. And when we sin, we're drawn away by our own desires. Those desires need to be cut off. And those desires need to be put in their proper place. Can I watch sports? Absolutely. But it needs to have its own place in my life. Sports is not the most important thing in my life. I know that because I'm a Falcons fan. Sports is not the most important thing in our life, and a Georgia Tech fan for that matter. Like, yeah, groans. That's what I get. But sports is not the most important thing to me. Fishing is not the most important thing to me. My relationship with God is 100% the most important thing to me. And if I let my flesh just do whatever it wants to, my relationship with God will be the first thing that suffers. Amen? Amen. It's got to be different. Remember, it's the power. What are we after? We just after some random thing. No, I'm after the power of God to provide the power for the seed that's in me. So I can grow. So I can grow. Last thing is this. Cultivate godly relationships. This year in 2020, we're going to cultivate godly relationships. There are some. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I lost all of my friends. All of them. Because I couldn't go down that path anymore. I couldn't allow that influence in me anymore. There are things that I had to cut off in my life. There are people that I had to cut off in my life. There are things, listen, I'll just be flat out honest. There are things when my wife and I, we were having some marriage problems years ago. We were having trouble. I remember I was going to go move in with this person. They were going to allow me to come and live with them because I wasn't living with my wife at the moment. That's a whole other story. How many of God knows that God will restore marriages? Amen. We are a story of God restoring marriages. Was that like almost 15 to 20 years ago that was? So you look at us and go, wow, that's amazing. I want you to remember it's God's testimony of God's restoring marriages. But I remember when we were going through our issues, I remember this person goes, when I was going to move in with them, they were so kind, they were going to let me move in with them. And they said this, and I told them what was going on, and they went, psh, she just needs to get over that. And I went, you're the wrong person. You're the wrong person to move in with. Because, hey, it was me. I did some stupid stuff. And I need to get my junk straight. I didn't need somebody to feed that other stuff in me that, oh, no, it's her. I knew she had her own, whatever her own stuff was. It didn't matter. It was my stuff. I had to get straight. And I didn't need a voice like that into my life on a daily basis all the time, speaking that nonsense into my life. So I said, appreciate it. I really need a place to live, but you're not it. I'll live on the street before I live with somebody who just says all that nonsense. But this year, we're going to cultivate godly relationships, people that build us up on our most holy faith. The Bible says that we're supposed to encourage one another daily while it's called today, so we won't enter into the deceitfulness of sin. So we're going to grow. Are y'all ready to grow? Are you tired? Are you just tired of being tired? Are you tired of just barely getting along? Are you just tired of not fulfilling? You just seem like, man, I feel like there's things in me that just have never flourished. I feel like there's things in me that God needs to grow inside of me. Yeah. Are there things in you that you feel like that God has to ignite some of that DNA on the inside of you to grow, to be, so you will, Psalms 92, verse 12 and verse 14. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they shall stay fresh and green. Don't you want to stay fresh and green? Don't you stay alive with what God's called you to be? And that's not just for people who, you know, like me and older people than me. Like that's for all of us. God wants us to bear fruit All the days of our life. So the power of God. One last scripture and I'll be done. 2 Timothy. Actually, the worship team can go ahead and come on it. 2 Timothy 1:6. Watch this. It's Paul in the very next letter to the same person that we read before. He says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says the same thing he says in 1 Timothy. He says it in 2 Timothy. Timothy, if you don't work on this gift, it will never happen. It'll never come to what God wants it to be. The DNA will lay in the ground dormant if you don't do something with it. So you know what we're going to do in 2020? We're going to get the fans out. We're going to start fanning the flames. Yeah. We're going to start fanning those flames. God, you're fanning those flames in my life. You're fanning those flames of reviving my desire for you. You're fanning those flames of even reviving my own heart in the presence of God. God, you're fanning those flames to the gifts and calling that are in me that have laid dormant too long. This year is not going to be the year. Not going to be the year that we're going to do that. Amen?
Yes.
We're not going to do that individually, and we're not going to do it as a church either. We're going to fan the flames of what God's called this church to be in Jesus' name. We are going to have the building that God's asked us to have in Jesus' name. We're going to have the right building at the right time in the right place. Amen? In Jesus' name. I'm by faith. It's going to happen. God's going to provide us to grow. We're going to go places we've never gone before in Jesus' name. It is time for us to grow. Amen? It's time for the gift of God. And that's why it's so important that we all grow. If you call this your home church, it's time for all of us to grow. Because when people walk through these doors, when people who are hurting, when people who are broken, when people who don't know which way's up, people who are like, I've had people say this to me, this is my last church I'm trying. I'm not going to try another one. Because I've been hurt, been wounded, been messed up by people. And are we going to be perfect? No. But we can be better. We can be better. We can be a place where when the broken comes in, come here, Wesley. When the broken, you're broken. When the broken comes in, we don't have to go, you're broken? Let me take you to the pastor. Because the pastor knows how to lay hands on people and fix them. No. I'm going to take Wes because he's broken, and I'm going to drag him over here to Maurice because I know Maurice has the power of God on the inside of him because he works with God. And God said, and God works in and through him to bring deliverance to people. Amen. And God knows he'll know the words to speak because of the love of God that's on the inside of him. Those days are over. The man of God syndrome in the church is done. Let me just declare it right now. It's the people of God rising up to be the people of God that we're going to do the work of the ministry. It's no longer drag them to the pastor. He can fix them. There's too many of y'all. I can't fix all y'all. I can't fix anybody. Thank you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help you. The pastor's talking to somebody else. He's been talking about a long time. But it's okay because we all are anointed by God. So when the broken... John said this. He said, John's disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, how do we know that the kingdom's come? And Jesus said, the broken are being restored. The dead are being raised. The sick are being healed. How do we know that the kingdom of God has come in this church? The broken are being restored. The sick are being healed. People are being raised to life. Amen. Because it's happening not up on a platform. It's happening here. Amen? I'm so excited about 2020. I can't even stand it. If I could just say all the things that I want to see, my heart is so full with vision. It's so full of what I want to see God do in this church. That these walls, listen, eventually we're going to have a bigger building. Amen? We're going to have to go somewhere. I know we love this place. We love all that stuff. We got to go somewhere. Amen? But we're going to do it. And God is the source. You know why? He's the king. Whew. Everybody say grow. We're going to grow. You know what? This is what I want to do. I want to go out with a shout this morning. So I've asked our worship team. We did that song Freedom this morning. You know why we do those songs, Freedom? We do the song. It's a declaration. There are power in your mouth to declare a thing before it even happens. To say, you know, freedom. 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 I'm free. I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. My whole life may look like I'm in bondage, but I'm free. And so we're going to go out here with a shout. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about growing. We're going to talk about how we're going to grow and what we're going to do to grow.
Yes.
And this year, be a part of that smaller percentage that says, you know what? It's lasted.
Right.
You know, let me tell you how I did it. It wasn't me. I decided to put God first. I put His word and His principles first. And everything else will flow out of that. Amen? Let's all stand together. Are you ready? Hey, and I'll just say, we did this song at the youth conference. And so if y'all want to come down front, some of y'all youth want to come down front and just, I don't know, show some of these. There you go. If y'all want to come down here. And how many of y'all are proud of our youth?